As I left out of my office to come over here, I couldn't hardly get through the parking lot there behind, over on that side, for people walking, and there's hundreds of people in them. And, you know, that's a great opportunity to be there to for them. Many of them, they want to give. And then you get an opportunity to talk and invite them to church. And it's just a great opportunity to get some one-on-one with people without being aggressive, you know. And so did you enjoy the lights? Yeah. Well, you know, the reason for these lights is Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we'd like to invite you to Rainbow Bible Church. I mean, that's all you have to say. I mean, it's easy. Amen. All right. And it is the Christmas season, right? Anybody figured that out yet? And people are trying to get ready. You know, there's presents to buy and traveling plans to make and plans for family to come in and figuring out where everybody's going to sleep, you know, because you don't have enough bedrooms for everybody. I don't know what they do nowadays, but when I was a kid, we all go to grandma's house. All the kids was, they'd throw down, my grandma, she quilted these quilts, you know, and they're heavy. They'd throw about three or four of them down on the floor and throw some pillows down there and some blanket to cover up with, and you just go, that's where you'd sleep. There might be five or six of us cousins all sleeping there together. How many ever been there? Oh, I got a lot of company in this place. But there's a lot of people, though, because of all of this, they get into worry. They're worrying, afraid, you know. And I got a little title here called Don't Borrow from Tomorrow. You know, they're worrying about whether everything's going to turn out all right. And then I've already had people asking me, well, what about the new year? What about the new year? Well, you know, everybody wants to know, well, what's the Lord saying? Well, does he have to say something every year? Can't he just be the same Lord every year? Somebody asked me, what's the word for this year? And I said, the same as it's always been, the word of God. You know, but worry keeps a lot of people from really enjoying the season. They're so busy doing things and worrying and making sure that everything is all right that they can't enjoy it. And it should be an enjoyable time. This should be an enjoyable time because God gave Jesus to the world, and we should enjoy this time as we give to others. It should be a time that we're giving to others. I want you to look at Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We'll read all of it, but we'll probably zero in on the last verse. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or burned, in other words, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, here Jesus is given various reasons why we should not worry. He is saying it's usually to worry because it can't change anything. What he is saying is that trust him. Our trust should be in him and not in all these other things. A man by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower said this: worry is a word that I don't allow myself to use. Now, the choice was president, if you didn't know it, he was president of the United States at one time in the 50s. The choice that President Eisenhower made was not to let worry in his life. It's also a choice that we could and should make. Today, many people are living their lives, you know, have you ever met somebody that's living their life, well, what if, or if this hadn't happened? Anybody, you ever met anybody like that? I call it living in the what if and if onlys. And then there's other people that they're always living for tomorrow or someday. Man, someday my ship's going to come in. But now they're worried that it's going to have a shipwreck before it gets there. You know, now some people relive their lives 2, 3, 4, even 10 times. And actually, they only experience it once. But in their minds, they go over and over and over and over and over it again, thinking maybe that they can change something. No, it's already happened. You can't change it. But why worry about it? You know, someone said, if I had my life to live over, I may still have many troubles, but I would have fewer imaginary ones. Worry will cause you to imagine trouble that never comes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So this Christmas season, I want you to encourage you to not worry, but to trust God. He don't want you to worry about anything. He wants you to enjoy life. Really, this verse that we read it, God's telling us, don't borrow from tomorrow by worrying about it. Isn't that what it said? Now, let's look at that verse 34 again. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, that's King James, New King James. NIV says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The NLT says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. Don't worry about tomorrow's trouble. And then I like the Message Bible says this way: give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes up when the time comes. I like that. And then the Voice, I like this. So do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. So we understand here that Jesus is telling what he's telling us. He is telling us what to do. In other words, he's telling us, don't borrow for tomorrow. Don't borrow from tomorrow. Now, the word here in the King James, the old King James Version, it said, take no thought for tomorrow or for the morrow. Now, the word thought there in the Greek actually gives an idea of someone that worries anxiously. An example. Okay. A wife's husband is off. Maybe he's been deployed, and she says, "I can't sleep at night or by day because I worry so much about your welfare." She tells him that. Another one: a mother hearing her son's health and financial issues are bad, writes him and says, "I've been so anxious about you." But being by anxiously worrying about the future of welfare and health of people or yourself is borrowing from tomorrow. You know, there's a guy that said this. You could write on countless American gravestones the epitaph: hurried, worried, buried. That might be true. Now, let me get you straight on that. Jesus didn't say that we should that you shouldn't have ordinary, prudent foresight, but he did say you should not worry. Now, he's not saying that we need to have a shiftless, reckless, thoughtless attitude. He's saying that we should not be full of care and anxiety and fear that takes the joy out of life. Now, William Barclay, in his commentary, tells us about the Jews. Now, William Barclay was a guy lived way back, long, a while back. And he tells about the Jews, and they were familiar, speaking about what Jesus was saying here, they were familiar with this worry-free attitude. Now, the rabbis had in their teaching that a man ought to face life with a combination of prudence or forethought and peace or serenity. And so you see, the Jews believed that in taking all the necessary steps for a prudent handling of life, that things would be all right. But at the same time, now, here at the same time, they had this saying: he who has a loaf in his basket, in other words, food in his basket, and also says, what shall I eat tomorrow, is a man of little faith. Now, have you ever been maybe on vacation or traveling or something, you know, and you eat the night meal, and while you're eating the night meal, you say, well, where are we going to eat breakfast? Anybody ever done that? Come on, be honest with me. You're barring for tomorrow. What Jesus said here, take care of today, believe me, and tomorrow will be there to take care of itself. You know, he looked at his creation, and the writer there, Matthew, looked at God's creation and said, look how he takes care of the birds. They don't do anything but fly around. Hello? Right? They don't gather, they don't do anything, but he takes care of them. And then he talks about the flowers and about their beauty. We got to remember how God has taken care of us in the past and not worry about the future. The psalmist, he said in Psalms 42:6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hills of Mizar. Now, what the psalmist is saying here, he's up against it. He's being confronted with stuff. But he goes back and remembers what God did for him back here. So then he's not worrying about tomorrow. Let me understand what I'm talking about. William Barclay said this in his daily Bible study book, Little Deal. The man who feeds his heart on the record of what God has done in the past will never worry about the future. See, worrying can cause you to overlook how God has helped you in the past. You begin to worry about tomorrow and you overlook how he helped you to bear up under what looked to be an unbearable thing. When you're worrying about tomorrow, you forget about how he helped you when you reached your breaking point, you still didn't break. When you begin to worry, you overlook how God helped you to do the impossible. You know, how he kept you going when you had reached your stopping point. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, worry causes us to lose our faith in God. If we're not careful, worry will blind us to the possibilities that exist with God. It's the enemy. That's what he wants to do. When he can come in and get you worrying, he starts stealing your joy. He starts stealing from you. Some people, when you use that word steal, they think, oh, taking a personal possessions. No, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He steals your joy. Then when your joy is gone, it's easier to destroy you because you're not looking to God anymore. You're worrying about everything else. William Carey said this, and I preached a sermon about this several years back. Y'all might remember. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Maybe I ought to bring that one back because I only hear about four or five people shaking their head that they remember. William down here, he said he remembered when I preached that. You know, to not worry is to not borrow from tomorrow. Actually, it's a choice that you make. Worrying is needless. It's useless. It produces nothing. And that's what he said there, really. He said, by worrying, can you add one inch? It said cubit. Can you add one inch, one half inch, one quarter inch to your height? By worrying, can you drop a belt size? No. But people are worrying about it all the time. Now, we need to be concerned about it, about our health and our weight. My ministry, praise the Lord, my ministry expanded. That's what preachers say when they gain weight. They say, my ministry is just expanding. Yeah. My dad and them used to call me Slim because I was skinny as a rail. Those days are gone forever. Actually, worry is worse than useless. It's actually harmful. It's harmful to your health. It's harmful to your emotions and your mind. Actually, two of the most common diseases in America today in our society is stomach ulcers and heart trouble. And if you study, they say that most of these is a result of worry. Now you could call it stress. They're basically the same thing. You know, it's a medical fact that he who laughs most lives longest. That's a medical fact. You can go study it. Why should we not realize that? Because in Proverbs it says, 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. NLT says that a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. The Message Bible says a cheerful disposition is good for you. Health, good for your health. Hey. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. You You ever stop to notice that when you get in despair and disappointment and despondency, that you just, all of a sudden, you just feel bone tired? You know, you can work hard at an all-day job. And I used to do it here. I said they called them blues back then. And on Friday, I would go down there and work in the garage, work on cars, work on different things. And I could go home and shower and clean up and eat and feel really good. But I can stay in that office all day long dealing with problem after problem after problem and this after that and go home, take a shower, eat, and I still feel, ugh. Come on now. I mean, know what I'm talking about. See, I have learned how to do it because I learned how to do it in the Army. I don't care what's up there. When I walk out, I leave it there. My wife will tell you, I don't carry it. That's what's the matter with a lot of you. You're carrying all that stuff all the time and you don't realize it, but you're worrying about it. Worry affects your judgment. It affects how decisions you make. You can't give your best in a situation. We need to trust God. You know, worry, and that's what he says there, worry cannot change your past. I don't know how many people I meet all the time that are talking about, oh, I just wish this hadn't happened. I wish that hadn't. Well, yeah, we all do. But it has. Forget it, because you've asked God to forgive you. Now, he don't even know it exists anymore. What are you doing work mulling it over in your mind? You know, some people brood over the past until they get themselves in such a state that they can't enjoy life or anything else. You can't change your past, so don't be worrying about it. But you can use it as a catalyst to help you in the future. That's what you need to. A mistake can either drive you until you just go insane, or it can be used as a catalyst to help you tomorrow. So I'm playing defensive back. A guy beats me for a touchdown. I can either go over and brood about it, or I can say, and I've done it many times, going back to the, you know, we line up again after they get the ball back. And I'm standing there. He's there, wide receiver, and I'm over here, and I look at him straight now, and I say, that's the last one, bud. See, instead of it being, I hope I can stay with him. I just hope that I can stay with him so he don't get another touchdown on me. If you do that, you're worrying about it. While you're worrying about it, he scores another touchdown. How many of you guys that play ball know what I'm talking about? If you get beat once, it's your fault. If you get beat the next time, if you get beat once, it's his fault. The first time, the next time, it's your fault. See, use what the devil throws at you as a catalyst to propel you into the future without worrying, trusting God. You know, William Barclay again says, worry about the future is wasted effort. The future of reality is seldom as bad as the future of your fears. What could happen? Do you realize how that 90% of the stuff that could happen never happens? You know, it's so funny. I told my wife about that. I said, well, why? You know, on the TV, they advertise medicine. And at the end, they tell you every cotton-picking thing in the world that could happen. When Craig had his brain surgery back when he was in the eighth grade. Now we had a spirit-filled doctor and he said, now, because of insurance, I have to tell you all this. And he went through a whole list of mess. He said, I don't expect any of it to happen. But I have to tell you this. And then he said, forget about it. Remember that, huh, Dr. Woosley? Yeah. The devil gonna come at you with all this mess firing at your head and your mind. And it's never gonna happen. But he gets you all worked up about it. Oh, what about this? What about that? I mean, I've had people, you know, say to me when we're going to do something, well, what about this? And what about that? What about the other? I said, we hadn't got that far yet. We're not concerned about that yet. We hadn't got there. Well, what if this? And what? I said, we hadn't got there yet. When we get there, we'll take care of it. I mean, you're building this. I built this campus from that one building on the corner and half of the one behind it. And I built the rest of this whole campus, 110 acres and I don't know how many buildings. And so many times they ask, well, what about this and what about that? I said, I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is right now. I'm not concerned about 6 months from now. I'm concerned about now. But do you ever notice how the devil tries to get you thinking about what's going to happen in the next week or the next few days, and he starts telling you, give me all these things that could happen? How many of you found out that most of them never happen? Right? See, if he can do that, he can start stealing from you, and then he can destroy you. He can steal the word from you. You know, people who worry seldom think of the great possibilities of tomorrow. What they have is a fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. Billy Graham made a big, good statement. Now, most of y'all, if you want to hear a guy that preached a salvation message, I was part of in 68, 69, I don't know when it was. Anyway, he came to Dallas and then we filled the Cotton Bowl. And a lot of us churches, we were all involved with it. And he preached salvation. And I see thousands of people go down for salvation. And he made this statement. He said, I've read the last page of the Bible and it's all going to turn out okay. Now, that's a simplistic faith, but that's what we have to have. I read the word, and it's going to be okay. Now, the devil can throw all he wants at me, but I read the word, and it's going to be okay. See, we don't have to worry because of external circumstances. We can choose what we dwell on. You see, in the same circumstances, one man can be absolutely peaceful and the other man can be, as we say, worried to death. But they're both in the same situation. They both have the same circumstances. One of them is in absolute peace, and the other is in absolute chaos worry. Actually, it's a choice. You can choose to worry, or you can choose to believe what God says. You know, Philippians, we know, you know where I'm going, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer, by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says, he goes on to say, don't be anxious, pray. And then Paul goes on to say, the peace which surpasses all understanding. See, this guy that's worrying over here in the same, he can't understand why this guy's so peaceful. But it says it right here, that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, think on these things. Don't let those thoughts come at you. Think on the good things. You know, there's a person, Edith Armstrong, I don't even know who she is. It says, I keep the telephone of my mind open to peace, harmony, health, love, abundance. Then whenever doubt, anxiety, fear try to call me, they keep getting a busy signal, and soon they'll forget my number. Let me read that again. That's good. I keep the telephone of my mind open to peace, harmony, health, love, abundance. Then whenever doubt, anxiety, or fear try to call me, they keep getting a busy signal, and soon they'll forget my number. I didn't say that. This lady named Edith Armstrong did. The truth is, both worry and peace come from within, not from outside in. Come on. Worry and peace come from with us, from within us, not from our outside circumstances, situations. Isaiah 26:3, you know what it says. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The NLT says, that's the New King James, the NLT says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Instead of fixing your thoughts on all of these other things, fix your thoughts on God and what God said. If you choose to dwell on the Word of God, then there's peace and there's no room for all that other junk. If you neglect the promises of God, then worry has an open door to come in. You know, we think about God and his constant love and care, and that he loves us, and that he wants that we have peace because of who he is. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I can conquer. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I can do all things because Christ who strengthens me. See, we got to think on those things. Amen. Instead of all of the outside circumstances that's all around here. They're going to be there. You will never get rid of them until you get out of this earth. Because the Bible says, and Paul said it there in Corinthians, that the devil is the god of this world. How do you get to be the god of this world? When Adam was over everything, God made Adam and he said, you got control of everything. But when Adam sinned, he gave that control to the devil. I mean, it's just simple. You need to study in him realities and you find out about all that stuff. There may be, and there will be, a temptation to borrow from tomorrow. But realize that's foolishness. You know, I've said this many times in sermons. I'm going to say it again. Corey Ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. There's an old song that we used to sing. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And I forget the rest of the words, but that's just all I can remember of it. You know, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. God is on our side. God is watching out for us. He loves us. He cares for us. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Don't let worry creep in. He'll try. Devil try to let worry get. Let's stand up and thank God that we don't have to be in worry, but we can be in trust in God for what God says that we can have. The devil may say we can't have it, but God says we can. God says we can have peace in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Praise God. I just was thinking and looking at these things and thinking about some things. And that's what I come up with. I trust you got something out of it. Don't let this Christmas season be full of worry. Let it be full of joy because of the Word of God. When the devil comes at you with something, you come back at him with the Word. Run him out. Think on the Word. Amen. Hey, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you can't have this kind of peace that I'm talking about until you know him. Or if you need to rededicate your life, you know what it is to serve God, but you're just not where you know you need to be. You need to rededicate your life. If you want prayer for any reason, be filled with the Spirit, prayer for healing, prayer for any reason whatsoever. The ladies are over here. The men are on this side. As we're dismissed, y'all come down here. They'll pray for you, and you won't leave here like you came. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to get that special gift they have. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We're having a great time serving God unlimited around here. Amen. We welcome you to join. We call ourselves the Rhema family, and we welcome you to join our family. Amen. Hey, remember all of the announcements, and especially remember on the 24th, Sunday the 24th, we've got one service at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll do our candlelight carol and communion service. And it'll probably be about an hour or hour and 15 minute service. And that's it. But it's one of our best services, I think. It's a beautiful service in which we honor Jesus Christ coming to be our Savior. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm not going to worry. What about you? God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here, 10 o'clock.